This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast that's celebrating its 1 year old birthday this week. Happy birthday to me and you. Can you believe it? Yes, 59 episodes in and 1 year later, and here we are still talking absolute shite and nonsense about the streaming wars, which haven't gone away, but feel like there's a shifting momentum for certain players out there, and it all could go bizarrely wrong the next year or so. And cinema, which just had one of the most insane weeks we've ever seen, with Barbenheimer shattering all sorts of records. And yes, the pop culture and music scene, which is the lifeblood of this here nerd. Thank you if you're still out there listening and following and recommending Here and Back Again. It's been a fun year, and despite the ongoing strikes out there, it doesn't look like the content train is going to slow down anytime soon, because those studios, they've been hoarding shit away for the last few months in prep. So fear not, there will be nonsense to talk about for at least another year. As for this week, well, after last week's box office content drop, of course this week was going to be a bit more low key, but it does have some sneaky gems for you to see. So, shall we begin?
Do you know what the greatest thing about America is? You can make things happen here like nowhere else. You have the power to create your own future. You can be anything. You can do anything.
You want to sell high-end stuffed Himalayan cats?
Understuffed, actually, for greater posability.
We're professionals. We're giving the people what they need.
The Beanie Bubble movie on Apple TV Plus joins recent true story dramedy recounts like Air, Tetris and Flamin' Hot. This one obviously deals with the Beanie Babies craze of the 1990s and early noughties. And yes, having worked on the tills at Easton's O'Connor Street during these times, I can confirm people be crazy as they were tracking deliveries and on numerous occasions wrecked the shop looking for those limited edition plush teddies. Mad. Zach Galifianakis plays toy company head Ty Warner, while Elizabeth Banks and Sarah Snook also star. Another intriguing aside for music fans out there is that the movie comes from first-time feature directors Kirsten Gore and Damien Kulash. Who's Damien Kulash? Well, he has had a career fronting the band OK Go, and anybody who knows that band, yes, he was the director of their now legendary music videos. The movie is based on the best-selling non-fiction book The Great Beanie Baby Bubble, Mass Delusion and the Dark Side of Cute, and is another highly entertaining and fascinating watch. I'm pretty certain me ma and me sis Dorothy had a shed full of Beanie Babies at some point in the late 90s, but alas, they're gone to the great big skip in the sky. Unless they've hidden them up the back somewhere. Anyways, definitely one for the must-watch category this week. Sounds like a perfect Friday night in, if you ask me. That's The Beanie Bubble, now on Apple TV+.
Hell just got a rumour. Something's up.
Upworm.
Up.
Up.
The Archangel Gabriel has disappeared.
I think he's gone to Earth.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning, officer.
Exactly. I'm a human police officer.
You spotted Gabriel?
He's definitely not in the shop. It's just Aziraphale.
The traitor.
And his grumpy friend, Mr. Crowley.
The demon.
Oh, I suppose that explains the grumpiness.
In Good Omens Season 2 on Prime Video, Michael Sheen and David Tennant return to the Amazon series adaptation of the Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman book. Miranda Richardson is among the new cast members this season, which goes beyond the events of the book into some shiny new territory. Having stopped the Antichrist from launching the apocalypse last time round, fair play to them, Sheen's and Tennant's demon and angel buddy brigade have an altogether different problem on their hands, this time because the angel Gabriel, played by John Hamm, has arrived on their doorstep with amnesia. Oh, lordy lord. Despite having been originally planned as a limited series by Amazon, it was so successful and such a hit in 2019 that they greenlit this sequel season, which, as you can imagine, due to COVID and the pandemic, has been a long time a-coming. So that's the 6-episode fantasy comedy Good Omens Season 2, now on Prime Video. And yes, the even better news is that all 6 episodes have dropped today.
I'm here because I got a divorce. I wanted to take on a new challenge and just sort of reset my life.
You're going to get all the badges. You're going to make lots of friends.
This is an adult camping trip.
Yes.
It's not camp.
Yes. Archery badge.
No archery. No.
Okay.
Okay, people.
We'll be working our way through some of Connecticut's 51 miles of the Appalachian Trail. These people here are your team.
It's hike day, baby.
Happiness for Beginners on Netflix is a romantic comedy which stars Ellie Kemper and Luke Grimes in an adaptation of Catherine Center's 2015 novel. A year after her divorce, 32-year-old Helen Carpenter lets her brother persuade her to sign up for a wilderness survival course on an Appalachian Trail hike. Through this experience, yes, she discovers that you have to get lost to find yourself. Oh my God. Muck, possibly, but quality muck of the highest order. Maybe we will have to wait and see. You know what? Could be one of the better streaming romantic comedies out there. And who doesn't love a bit of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's Kemper? Good times, mediocre times, who cares times? Because you know who you are. Romantic comedy time is here. So that is Happiness for Beginners, now on Netflix.
They're all searching for you, Siri.
I cannot walk ahead without dying.
This was inevitable. We fight.
The war brewing outside is nothing compared to what Geralt will unleash to protect his daughter.
After ending on a dramatic cliffhanger on 29th of June, Season 3 of The Witcher returns to Netflix to reveal the fate of Geralt of Rivia, Princess Ciri, and Yennefer of Vengerberg. There are just 3 episodes left before we witness the end of Henry Cavill's run in The Witcher. After that, it's over to you, Liam Hemsworth. Can you save the decaying franchise, or is this finally the beginning of the end? For now, Henry's End in The Witcher Season 3 Part 2 is now on Netflix. The Ghost of Beirut on Paramount Plus is a 4-part drama exploring the search for Imad Munia, a Lebanese militant who was able to outwit the CIA and Mossad for nearly 30 years. This fascinating tale of the 30-year cat-and-mouse chase has now been spun together by Avi Isharoff and Leo Raz, the creators of the popular Israeli action drama Fauda. Spanning decades, countries, governmental agencies, and dealing with intertwining relationships, political and personal motivations, and global shifts in society and politics, how the hell they fit all that into 4 episodes and not the normal 8 or 10 may ultimately be the series' downfall here. We'll just have to have a nose and see. Anyways, that's Ghost of Beirut, now on Paramount Plus. Missing, the Lucy Blackman case on Netflix is a true crime series which tells the story of Lucy Blackman, a British 21-year-old who on July 1st in 2000 went missing in Tokyo, sparking an international investigation. Exposing Tokyo's seedy underbelly, this disturbing documentary is, yes, a must-watch for true crime heads everywhere. And they'll be there. They'll be all bailing into this one. That's Missing, the Lucy Blackman case, now on Netflix. The Lady of Silence on Netflix is another true crime documentary, this time set in Mexico between 1998 and 2005, when a wave of murders targeting elderly women hit Mexico City, triggering the hunt for the serial killer who turned out to be a most unlikely suspect. Getting some really, really strong buzz and looking like it's a really, really decent documentary, that is The Lady of Silence, which is now on Netflix. It's a week for true crime, people. It's a week for true crime.
Unconditional love. Endless devotion. By offering the right package, you can control people's minds and close them off to everything else.
All of us end up in times in our lives where we are feeling a little bit lost, a little bit vulnerable. A good cult leader will come in and say, I've got just the thing.
An elusive promise is a surefire method for hooking people in.
You can say anything as long as it's for the church's purposes.
The satirical new docuseries How to Become a Cult Leader on Netflix takes a look inside the cult leader's playbook for achieving unconditional love, endless devotion, and the power to control people's minds, bodies, and souls. Yes, as someone who watches too many cult documentaries, this one looks like just the one for me. Peter Dinklage narrates this docuseries as it takes a tongue-in-cheek look at the rise of six infamous and absolutely batshit cult leaders. So that is How to Become a Cult Leader, now on Netflix. And zigzagging to the right from cult leaders to cult fave bands, we have K-pop. Oh, K-pop, K-pop, K-pop. Yes, for all you K-pop fans out there, Tomorrow by Together, Our Lost Summer is now on Disney+. Plus, in 2019, Tomorrow by Together made a splash by becoming the first K-pop group to enter the US Billboard Top 200 chart with their debut album. This documentary sees them preparing to embark on their first ever world tour on some of the world's biggest stages, including Lollapalooza in 2022. Capturing all that behind-the-scenes madness and stress and prep, this should not only intrigue K-pop fans, but if you're into music, you gotta love a bit of behind-the-curtain madness. So that is Tomorrow by Together, Our Lost Summer, which is now on Disney+. In a section we will call Returning Heroes, or Villains, or whatever the hell they are, Zoe 102 lands on Paramount+, and this streaming feature film sequel or reboot to the Nickelodeon TV series Zoe 101 is set over a decade after the finale. Now in her 20s, Zoe reconnects with the Pacific Coast Academy gang for an elaborate wedding-turned-high school reunion that they will remember forever. Whether we remember it forever is possibly a totally different thing. But for hardcore Nickelodeon nostalgia freaks out there, Zoe 102 is now on Paramount+. And also returning this week for the first new season in a decade, what? The animated sci-fi comedy Futurama from Matt Groening and David X. Cohen has reunited its entire voice cast, including one-time holdout John DiMaggio, who plays Bender. There are 10 new episodes which will arrive weekly on Mondays on Disney+, and guests this season include the late rapper Coolio, amongst many others. Having had its premiere in 1999, this is impressive stuff from the crew and feels like a show that is just not willing to die. That's Futurama Season 11, now weekly on Disney+. In Captain Fall on Netflix, we have a goofy, gullible sea captain who is hired to helm a high-end cruise ship, yet becomes the perfect fall guy for an international cartel's illicit smuggling operation. Jason Ritter, Anthony Carrigan, Christopher Molini, Adam Devine, and Leslie Ann Brandt are among the voices for Netflix adult animated comedy. Wonderfully described by Collider as if The Love Boat, Ozark, and The Truman Show had a cartoon baby. And this comes from the Norwegian creators of Norsemen. That's Captain Fall, now on Netflix.
Good show on three. Okay. Ready? Okay. One.
Good show!
Wait, two.
Good show!
No, wait until I say three.
Good show!
Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka present A World of Imagination, where two teams of your favorite drag queens face off to throw the best...
We're cooking, we're decorating, we're vibing.
Funniest...
Grab our meat!
Most drag-tastic themed dinner party of their lives.
We're so happy you've joined us here.
In Drag Me to Dinner on Disney Plus, the series will see several famous drag queens compete with one another to put together the best dinner, with Bianca Del Rio, Neil Patrick Harris and Hanifa Wood judging the show. Each episode will be pitting two new queens against each other, and this one looks like a hell of a lot of carnage. And if RuPaul's Drag Race is your thing, there'll be plenty of winners and competitors from past seasons of that show coming on board to entertain you. That's Drag Me to Dinner, now on Disney+. In the German sci-fi thriller Paradise on Netflix, a man sees the dark side of the time-manipulating biotech company he works for when a crushing death forces his wife to give up 40 years of her own life. You know what? It's the Germans doing mind-bending sci-fi shit. And who am I to argue with that? Not a piece of it. That is Paradise, coming from Germany. Looks mad as a bunch of crazy time-jumping cats. Now on Netflix. Speaking of cats.
Do you believe in magic? Over the centuries, these magical gems, called the miraculous, have been granted to the greatest heroes. They possess the ultimate power, one even stronger than death.
I don't understand what's happening.
The fate of the world is at risk. These two miraculous must be united.
In Miraculous, Ladybug and Cat Noir, the movie, now on Netflix, bestowed with magical powers of creation, Ladybug must unite with her opposite, Cat Noir, to save Paris as a villain unleashes chaos. Chaos, I tell you, in the city. This movie is a spin-off of the hit TV show Miraculous, which, judging by the number of Halloween costumes which you see every year and the amount of back-to-school merch and toys available, I get the impression it's quite a popular thing amongst the smallies. So if you want to distract them and stick them in a corner, Miraculous, Ladybug and Cat Noir, the movie, is now on Netflix. And finally this week, two movies that were in cinemas recently and are now streaming and I'd highly recommend. First up we have Chevalier, which is now on Disney+. This is a biopic and the incredible story of composer Joseph Boulogne Chevalier de Saint-Georges. He was the illegitimate son of an African slave and a French plantation owner. Boulogne, played by the fantastic Kelvin Harrison Jr., such a good performance, rises to improbable heights in French society as a celebrated violinist, composer and fencer. Complete, of course, with an ill-fated love affair and falling out with Marie Antoinette, herself and her court. Not a good idea. Not at all. Most definitely worth a watch now that it's on streaming. That's Chevalier, which is now on Disney+. And also this week we have How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which is on Netflix. With the climate crisis at a dangerous point of no return, a group of environmental activists come up with a daring plan to make their voices heard and disrupt, aka blow up, an oil pipeline. Part heist movie, part thriller. And yes, with all the stress you need, I cannot recommend this one enough. It's a wee cracker of a movie. That is How to Blow Up a Pipeline, now streaming on Netflix. And that is your streaming for the week. Yes, while not exactly a pot of gold, there are definitely some intriguing choices there for you to browse over and either bail in or run away from. As for cinema, how will they dare follow last week's box office bonanza? Well, they dared.
You busy tonight?
You want a turn, eh?
My mum leaves at 9.
So you're at 10.
Yes! So where'd you get it from anyway?
Apparently it was the hand of someone who could connect with the dead.
I heard it was the hand of a Satanist. The other hand's just out there.
White people shit, man, I tell you.
All right, let's do this!
Talk to Me is an Australian horror from Danny and Michael Philippou in their feature film directorial debut. When a group of friends discover how to conjure spirits using an embalmed hand, they become hooked on the new thrill until one of them, yes, goes too far and unleashes terrifying, terrifying supernatural forces. Like a lot of recent impressive horror debuts, this one is a batshit, no-holds-barred tour de force. Grab the hand, say talk to me, see the demon, then say let me in, but for no more than 90 seconds. What can go wrong? Well, everything. Absolutely everything. Holy crap. If you enjoyed Smile and possibly It Follows, then this is definitely for you. Possession movies, kind of like, you know, small children horror movies, kind of always freaked me out. But by adding the almost TikTok-like teen trend of kids, yes, stupidly ignoring the dangers of demon possession, this movie goes from color-by-numbers horror to something genuinely disturbing and thrilling. And yes, more stress. It's all about the stress. You also better be a fan of explosive scenes of violence. Because boy, oh boy. Keep an eye on these Australian dudes, Danny and Michael Philippou, who are known on YouTube as Raka Raka and are infamous for their live action horror comedy videos, because judging by this debut, they've got a bright future ahead of them. Yes, the Australians are back and creating absolutely mad, terrifying horror. I absolutely adored it and everything that came with it. That's Talk to Me now at cinemas.
Boys, where have you been?
We're just running errands.
That's it?
Look, we're really sorry, Splinter. Some of the guys wanted to get pizza and I tried to talk them out of it.
Leo!
You ratted us out.
Hey, don't use that word that way.
I mean, it's 2023.
Sorry, Dad.
Hey, guys, if we weren't monsters that were shunned by society and we could do what we wanted, what would you guys do?
Go to high school.
Maybe get a girlfriend.
Can you imagine that?
Not likely.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem lands in cinemas early next week. And when I say early, it was supposed to be out Friday the 4th, and it's now on Monday, July 31st. Yes, Tom Cruise has a lot to answer for. People are avoiding, there's so many movies opening, people are running in every direction and opening as early as possible. And you know what? It's a welcome addition to the family animated movie market. After years of being sheltered from the human world, the Turtle Brothers set out to win the hearts of New Yorkers and be accepted as normal teenagers. Their new friend April O'Neil helps them take on a mysterious crime syndicate, but they soon get in, yes, over their heads when an army of mutants is unleashed upon them. So far, so normal. Yes, we've been through about six, I think, at this stage, different versions of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Hero Turtles. However, why this one stands out is because Seth Rogen is heavily involved and is leaning definitely towards the teenage aspect of the Turtles. Hence why it's at their receiving a PG rating. I'm all in. I love it. As I said, its official release date is Friday the 4th, but it is dropping in cinemas on Monday, July 31st. So I'll throw in an old proper full review next week, as the press screenings are only happening today. But all I can say is I have high hopes. I believe. And that is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. And that's your cinema for the week. Yes, while Barbie and Oppie are still kicking the shit out of people, there's a few little new options there to keep you going, just in case you can't get in. But so if you want to be terrified or just have some nostalgia with a few turtle friends, be my guest. Moving on to music, there is literally only one album I would like to talk about this week. New album, new tunes, we are going to have the loveliest time.
But it's like this, put you on the list, so come downtown if you're around. I hope you do, get the answers, I don't care what they say about you. So sick of everybody telling me what to do. And all I need is your eyes across the room, yeah, those eyes across the room. Shabba, shabby, can't stop for your money, come
on. Following on from her 2022 smash hit album, The Loneliest Time, Canadian pop royalty Carly Rae Jepsen returns with a shiny new banger of an album, The Loveliest Time. You know me, I love me Carly. She is absolutely amazing. She was stunning at the Olympia Theatre in February and delivered probably one of the best performers I've seen live this year. So excuse me while I cycle around the Finks Park in the rain, singing and shaping to this wonderful addition to our catalogue. People, embrace the pop. Embrace the Canadia. Carly Rae Jepsen's The Loveliest Time is out now. And there you go. There's your... What have you got there? You got your streaming, you got your movies, you got your music. Woo woo! It's time for three things, and there's no three things. There's one thing, because we can only talk about box office numbers. And those numbers are being promoted from the post credits into the main pod because, as mentioned earlier, Barbenheimer brought its game this weekend and shattered all sorts of cinema records. Let's talk Barbie first, with a worldwide gross of $410 million in 6 days. What? Crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff. Holy crap. Greta Gerwig is the new queen of Hollywood and now has the biggest opening ever in the US for a female director. So let's do a deep dive on this movie. Production costs are rumoured to be in the region of $145 million, a revision from initial reports of $100 million. And the marketing spend on top of that is rumoured to have come in at $150 million, which is obviously no surprise considering the epic campaign that launched this movie into the stratosphere. So, with $410 million after 6 days, Barbie is well on its way to breaking even just in its theatrical release, and could even be showing a profit before that run ends. Its box office numbers for its second week will be a strong indication of whether it'll become only the second $1 billion movie worldwide of the year after Super Mario Bros. And then we have Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, which is also on a similar path to theatrical success, with $230 million after 6 days. That's $230 million worldwide for a three-hour historical biopic about the father of the atomic bomb. What is going on? What's happening here? It's almost behaving like a superhero or a large IP movie. Obviously, IMAX screens greatly helped boost its numbers, and Nolan's position as the unofficial brand ambassador of IMAX helped him cut poor old Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible off the knees. This was a key play in the marketing war. On this one, with a production cost of $100 million, and a marketing campaign of possibly $80 million, this was again a very decent, frugal spend. Although, we must not forget that Nolan will also receive a back-end deal that promises a percentage of the first dollar gross, rumoured to be around, wait for it, 20%. Oh my lord. If that's correct, he's possibly already got $44 million in the bank. Mad. Now that's impressive negotiation. So on current form, like Barbie, this is heading in the profitable direction for everyone. But again, the second and third week holds of IMAX screens will be key at this point. Don't let them go, Oppie. Do not let Tom back in the door. Oppenheimer can obviously also thank Barbie for its huge marketing spend, as it no doubt helped bring Oppenheimer to the attention of a lot of people who may have missed it. True, those mad Barbenheimer memes and all that buzz as July 21st fast approached. But before you start congratulating Warner Brothers on everything they did and all this counter-programming, don't forget, deep down, it was bitterness that got them there, because they only released Barbie on July 21st to wind up Nolan, who had left their studio having been upset with their day and date release of movies during the pandemic. And they said, let's release on the same day as his new movie. The Barbenheimer phenomenon, as we discussed, is an organic fan-made thing that studios can only dream of. Like, you're sitting there watching groups of people wander around the pubs and streets of Dublin in pink, and it's like watching a ga or football crowd milling around pre-match. Oppie heads definitely were much harder to identify, but they were there, appropriately staying off the grid, Los Alamos style. So there you go. Everyone wins. We can all go home. Well done. Pat on the back. Well, hold on. Maybe not. While cinema definitely won with its record attendances, one man who may not be leaping up and down his couch at this moment in time and may be regretting not moving his movie into mid-August to avoid this madness is, yes, Tom Cruise and his Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Currently sitting with a box office of $376 million after 2 weeks, and with a production budget of $300 million and possible marketing budget of $100 million, Tom looks like he may be in trouble. Still not able to gain those premium screens from either Barbie or Oppenheimer, this is the worst case scenario which has been realised for its weekly box office numbers. And if Barbenheimer continues to sweep the world as it looks like it is, Dead Reckoning may fail to make a profit on its theatrical run. Oh boy, not what Hollywood expected, especially after the success of Top Gun Maverick. Again, the next fortnight will reveal some fascinating outcomes. Will Tom succeed in the face of adversity? Will Haunted Mansion vanish amidst the chaos? Will people even care about Meg 2? Or will they just think it's Megan 2? Who knows? It's all to play for. And as a numbers guy, you know me, it's very, very, very exciting. Anyway, I better shut up now because that's me just talking numbers and shite as usual. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best. Thanking you again for your custom. Keep listening. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. I just get giddy. I just being here with you in these post credits, just hanging out. Yes, we're in the Thunderdome, and yet again, looking for those hidden gems or nuggets that will keep you going on the streets, keep you alive while you await episode 60 next week. Well, this week I thought I'd talk toys. No, not the Robin Williams movie that everybody hated and I kind of liked. This week we're going to talk about, no surprise, Mattel. After the success of Barbie, it seems they are not resting on their laurels and had already believed that a successful Barbie would pave the way for more of the IPs and brands that they have to be made into successful Hollywood franchises. But as you'll see, this doesn't seem like a normal cash grab, as their choices of storytellers, directors, etc. are quite intriguing and quite telling. And yeah, this is going to be an interesting road ahead. So let's take a look at what the trades are saying. We've already mentioned the Daniel Kaluuya produced Barney movie before. What we now know is that yes, it's a live action film and will be an A24 type surrealistic movie in the vein of Spike Jonze's Being John Malkovich and adaptation. Already I'm like, what is happening here? Another surprising reveal this week in the Hollywood trade was that Lena Dunham would be writing and directing Lily Collins as the micro doll Polly Pocket. This, again, was a surprising reveal and could go in any direction. All of these could feckin' go off a cliff or be Barbie 2. J.J. Abrams' Hot Wheels, the movie, has been described as grounded and gritty. Really, J.J., you're going there, are you? While Major Matt Mason, an astronaut action figure from the 1960s who lives and works on the moon and seemingly inspired Buzz Lightyear, will star Tom Hanks and, believe it or not, is being written by Akiva Goldsman and Michael Chabon. Oh my god, they are just going for it! You think that's crazy? How about Thomas and Friends? We'll see World War Z and Monsters Ball director Mark Forster direct, obviously, this fantasy film based on the children's animated train series. And finally, we'll end it here because it's just what? Magic 8-Ball. Oh my God. Yes, Magic 8-Ball the movie is supposedly going to be a PG horror thriller. Oh my God. What can I say? The poor lads. I feel bad for He-Man now because they had a live action of He-Man Jew and it all fell apart. And they're walking around Hollywood trying to flob him off while everybody else is getting a go. But who knows, in a few weeks they may have sold that off to some other studio. Anyway, as I mentioned last week, the toys are the new IP Gold Rush and it's upon us. And it's going to get epic or ugly pretty fast, folks, as studios attempt to replicate Barbie's success. And we all know what usually happens. Highs and lows. Highs and lows. Of course, you can expect both a Barbie and Ken sequel announcement pretty soon. But do not expect Greta to be on board, as she will be busy with her Narnia double bill for Netflix. And there you go. Absolute lunacy. Toys are the new video games. Video games are the new superheroes. Fun times in Hollywood. Fun times ahead. If only the studios could get folks back to work by paying them properly. Sure, we'll see what happens. Until next time, ciao!